Radio.
This is a Pentecost homily by Bishop Julian Porteous on the Year of Grace, given at St. Mary's Cathedral, Sydney, on the 27th of May, 2012.
With this celebration today of the Feast of Pentecost, the Church here in Australia commences a year of grace. This particular year of grace, which will run for 12 months, has been the result of a lengthy consultation and reflection by the Australian bishops. We can ask ourselves then, as we begin this year, what is grace? I heard a young person just recently answer that question by commenting that it is what we say before meals. And I think that answer does highlight the fact that the concept of grace is a foreign notion for many of us, even though we are used to hearing the word. How would you explain grace? There are some major figures in Christian history who are known for their emphasis on the importance of grace in the Christian life. One is Saint Paul. Saint Paul very often speaks about grace. He says that we are saved by grace. In his letter to the Ephesians, he says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from ourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." So Paul emphasizes that the way we are saved is through the action of God in grace and not as a result of our own works and efforts. This teaching may continue, though, to mystify many Catholics. What does St. Paul mean? Before we answer this, let us consider another great saint and his teaching. The second figure in Christian history is St. Augustine of Hippo, who is actually given the title Doctor of Grace. He wrote on the subject of grace in answer to the teaching of a 4th century British monk called Pelagius. Pelagius emphasized human freedom and will as the key to the living of the Christian life. In other words, Pelagius believed that we could save ourselves by our own effort. St. Augustine wrote strongly against this view. In his Confessions, as he reflects upon his own life, St. Augustine says, "All my hope is nothing except in your great mercy." And then adds in prayerful thanks to God, "It is only by your grace and mercy that you have melted away the ice of my evil." St. Augustine came to understand that God gives us the power to respond to his commands. And so he says, "You commanded me, and since you gave me the power, it was so done." Why do these two towering Christian figures emphasize grace so much? I think very simply that their teaching flows from their own personal experience. In both instances, they attribute their faith to the intervention of God in their lives. St. Paul, as we know well, met the Lord on the road to Damascus. At that time, he was persecuting the Christians. God intervened and dramatically changed the whole direction of his life. St. Paul realized that without God's merciful action, he would have continued to have gone completely the wrong way. So he attributed his faith and indeed his salvation solely to the mercy of God towards him. Again, St. Augustine, as we know, had led a very profligate life. While intellectually brilliant, he was subject to his sexual passions. They gripped his life. Then one day he heard what he later described as the voice of a small child who said to him, "Take up and read." The book that he had before him was the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. And as he read that text, he was converted. In a moment, his soul was set free and he came into a living relationship with God. And this he clearly knew was not the result of his own effort. He attributed all to God. So both men had realized that God had intervened in their lives. And they were the first to acknowledge that their Christian faith was the response to the action of God within them. This simply is what grace is. Grace is the movement of God in our lives. I think still there are many people who do not appreciate the importance of grace in the Christian life. I think many of us tend to think that we can really manage by ourselves. One way we can secretly believe that we will save ourselves by our own efforts. We say to ourselves, I will try to lead a good life. This is what Pelagius proposed. So his teaching is still very much alive today. St. Paul and St. Augustine would say very simply, no, we cannot save ourselves. St. Paul summed up what the Christian life is in these words. He said, we are all God's work of art. That is, the good that is in us is solely the fruit of God's action in our lives. We must cooperate, yes, but the fruit is God's work, not ours. This theme of grace, of course, is very appropriate to reflect upon as we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost today. Here we see a dramatic example of an intervention of God. The apostles experienced the power of God's Spirit coming upon them. From frightened and confused men, they rose up in new confidence and boldness. The power of the Holy Spirit put a fire in their belly. And immediately after the coming of the Holy Spirit, we see St. Peter going to the balcony of the upper room and preaching to the assembled crowd. Men of Jerusalem, he said, I want to tell you about this Jesus of Nazareth whom you crucified. He is risen from the dead. He is Lord and Christ. He preached with clarity and boldness. So Luke tells us that his listeners were cut to the heart. In other words, the power of the Holy Spirit not only invested St. Peter's own words, but they also penetrated the hearts of his listeners. The church was born as a sovereign act of the grace of God. And the church continues in every age as that grace of God continues to be present and active in its midst. The grace of God is at work in each one of our lives. It's a little bit like breathing. We do not often think about the fact that we breathe, and yet it is vital for us to stay alive. So too it is with grace, the gift, the presence, the activity of the Holy Spirit. The grace of God abides within us and sustains our faith and our spiritual life. As we heard in the second reading today, St. Paul said that you cannot even say Jesus is Lord without the action of the Holy Spirit. Thus, just because we do not allude to the action of the Holy Spirit in our daily lives, it does not mean that the Spirit is not active within us. Both saints declare that in the end, all is grace. Our efforts really are so paltry. And so we are, as St. Paul said, God's work of art. The great theologian St. Thomas Aquinas comments, now there are five effects of grace in us. Of these, the first is to heal the soul. The second is to desire good. The third is to carry into effect the good proposed. The fourth is to persevere in good. The fifth, to reach glory. Thus Thomas teaches that grace precedes every good action, enables it to take place, and produces the fruit from the action. So he too is aware that we are totally dependent upon grace. Thus, like St. Paul and St. Augustine, he too is aware that grace is everything. This year of grace is an opportunity for all of us to rediscover this fundamental truth to the Christian life. It's an opportunity for us to become aware of the presence and the activity of the Holy Spirit in our daily lives. During this coming year, let us pray, let us ask God to lead us more deeply into an understanding of, and hence cooperation with, divine grace.
You've been listening to a Pentecost homily by Bishop Julian Porteous, given at St. Mary's Cathedral, Sydney. And for more talks, visit cradio.org.au.